Well, as we hear more and more talk about the necessity for health care reform and the number of uninsured people in the United States, we also hear about the impact those problems have on the emergency departments in hospitals across the country. Until recently, the general wisdom has been this, that because people don't have health insurance and because the law states they may not be turned away by the emergency department, then the uninsured are clogging emergency facilities and in some cases overwhelming the ER's ability to handle so many people. In more recent months, there seems to be a slight shift in that thinking about who is accessing emergency services. And to help us understand the situation, we've asked Dr. John McCabe to join us this morning. Good morning, Dr. McCabe.
Good morning.
Well, you've got plenty of business in the emergency room these days.
Yes, it's a constant supply of patients.
Yeah, I'm
Never
sure.
ends.
Never ends. Who are these people who are showing up?
Well, I think they're basically the same people we've always seen, with the exception that they're probably sicker today than they were in the past, and that many of the simple problems don't show up in the emergency department anymore.
They don't. And the reason the simple problems don't is because, what, people are taking care of them themselves? They feel like they don't have insurance?
Well, I think if you look at the last 10 or 15 years, people take care of themselves differently. Also, many of the private practices, primary practices, have realized that having hours in the evening, hours on the weekend, is good. And then also many patients still go to outpatient facilities like urgent care facilities for their simple problems.
Sure. And so there is a shift because you've still got just as much business as you had before. Who are you seeing now?
Well, I think we continue to see the very sick, the patients who leave the hospital, get sick again and come back. Complex disease, multiple trauma continues to be, particularly
sure.
at our hospital.
The complex diseases, and they go home from the hospital, a lot of that is due to insurance making sure that they go home early, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure it's insurance, but certainly, you know, medicine has shifted, and what used to take 10 days in the hospital now takes 3 days in the hospital. And
mm-hmm.
so a small percentage of those patients are certainly going to return if they get worse. And you can look at that as a failure of the system, or it may be as a success of the system that there is a place and patients do know to come back.
Well, that's true. Although if you're one of those patients who got sent home early and had to go back, then you might not look at it quite
sure.
the same way. But let's talk now about the uninsured. Are you seeing more uninsured people? Do you even know they're uninsured? Insured.
At the time that I see people, we have no idea.
By law.
Well, by law and by our philosophy of practice. If you show up, you get taken care of.
You do.
No questions asked.
But let's make sure people understand what that law is. It's called EMTALA, EMTALA.
Right.
And it stands for Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. That's federal legislation. And what does it say?
It says that any person who presents to an emergency department and requests care has to have a medical screening evaluation and needs to be stabilized. So someone has to look at them, understand their problem, and be sure that they're stable, either to be treated or to be sent to another location for their care, a clinic, an office, for instance.
And the question about insurance isn't even asked until after that care has been administered.
Correct. By law, it can't be asked.
Right. Exactly. And therefore, a lot of people without insurance have figured out they can go to the emergency room and get some of their care. Are they showing up for primary care?
Well, I would say they show up with things that certainly could be taken care of elsewhere. But again, we have to remember that the poor, the uninsured, often don't have means to go elsewhere, don't have access. And access is a big problem for those patients in the community. It's hard to find a doctor willing to take people on a regular basis if they're uninsured or underinsured.
And you can't blame a doctor. A doctor's got to keep the lights on and the doors open as well. And so it's kind of a vicious cycle, and it's not easily solvable, which then takes us to the healthcare reform conversation. We're not going to go there this morning. I want to ask more about some of these folks you're seeing. So they're uninsured, and I've also read that when folks show up, they have put off primary care, so by the time they do get to the emergency room, the problem is bigger than it would have been had they been accessing primary care.
Sure, I think that's one of the problems of the current system, that if you don't want to go to see the doctor because you're going to have to pay for it and you can't, then you put off your care. And potentially, then, when you finally do show up to the healthcare system, you're sicker than you ought to have been.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. What do you expect in the future? Do you see any of this shifting anytime soon?
Well, I guess the primary concern is perhaps we'll see it shift negatively in the near future. The stories about everyone losing their jobs means most of those people are losing their insurance as well.
Yes.
And they're going to need a place to go.
Yes.
Hopefully in the long term, the solution is some sort of universal coverage for everyone.
You want to take a stab at any suggestions for how that should be changed?
Oh, well, I personally believe that the country ought to provide some form of universal baseline insurance for everyone. It seems reasonable to me, and certainly in many of the civilized parts of the world, that's exactly what happens.
Are there any steps being taken currently that you know of, and I don't mean just at University Hospital or even Central New York, to look at how emergency rooms are operating to make them serve that bigger population any better than they're being served now?
Well, I think, I mean, it's constant. We are looking all the time at the patient population. We do case management for the people that come frequently, where we identify a better source of care could be over here rather than repeat visits to the emergency department. We obviously are trying to move the simple patients through quicker, although they really don't clog things up. It's really the access to hospital beds that slows down most hospital emergency departments.
Ah, see, now that's an interesting concept, too. I don't think we think about that part of it. I've actually heard, and again, this is reading that I've done outside of here, about EMTs that say, I can't take you to such and such a hospital, and people insist that they go to a hospital, and it just clogs things even more.
Yes, that's a problem. And but again, in this community and many others, we've tried to get rid of the diversion system because you're right, it just puts patients in places they don't want to be, and everybody's unhappy, the medical records are somewhere else, and it's not a system of care that makes sense. So if you keep the emergency department running efficiently, move the patients out to the hospital beds who need them, then you can always take the next patient. And that's really the goal for all of our departments.
Absolutely. And yet we hear about hospital beds being taken away in different communities, which just, again, it seems like a vicious cycle.
Yep. If you have fewer hospital beds, there's fewer places to put the patients who need them.
That's true. Anything else we should know about what's going on in emergency rooms today?
No, I think, though, you know, the basis of emergency medicine is the same. Anybody, any time of day, any day of the year can show up and get care. No questions asked. That's a pretty good insurance policy for the country.
It absolutely is.
And that's the basis on which the departments exist.
Very good. Well, Dr. John McCabe, once again, thanks so much for your time this morning. We've learned about emergency medicine. You've brought us up to date.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Well, folks, how can we manage the inevitable difficulties in life? For example, seriously disappointing Hanukkah Christmas gifts. An example from my life, about 20 years ago, I started getting queries through the family grapevine about my preferences in sweaters. My mother-in-law, Margie, bless her soul, was a wonderful knitter, and whispers had it that I might be in line for one of her gorgiosos. Now, my wife and I had been married for just a few years then, and everybody else in the family had not just one, but several of Margie's creations. So I saw this as an indication that I had made the grade of real acceptance into the clan. But beyond that, my favorite Irish sweater had recently gone beyond, quote, having a lot of character, directly into the garbage can. Anyway, the question started in the summer. Would I like a vest or a full-length sweater from Margie? Yeah. The grapevine said Margie likes to find a pattern expressing the personality of the giftee. Irish sweater style? Yeah. A month or two later, what colors do I like? Red okay? Margie expresses herself by working in colors she's never tried. Sure, I love red. I'd never even seen a red Irish sweater. Cool. Fall rolls around and the grapevine whispers that Margie is knitting. Purling to her heart's content. I'm excited. Not just socks and underwear this year. The big day then finally gets here. I see the box. Waiting my turn, then rip, rip, tear, tear. No saving the paper for this baby. Oh, wow, Margie. Thank you so much. What a gorgeous red. And the design, so unique. I've never seen anything like it. Inside. Oh, my. Red and mustard stain yellow in a giant V down the whole front? Is this what she really thinks of me? I look like one of those atrociously tailored aliens from Star Trek. How am I going to wear this? I know it's the thought that counts, but what was she thinking? Now, unfortunately, Margie is long gone, but I do know she loved me uniquely. And the sweater is now a favorite. I wear it every Christmas, hearing Margie's message that something that helps us through trying times is a sense of humor. And I do know she had a sense of humor, and that's a real gift. Thanks again, Margie. I'm Dr. Rich Klingon O'Neill. Thanks for tuning in. And you can check out the sweater on Upstate's YouTube for a chuckle if you want.